Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture lesson is from John 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have walked on a mountain lake up in a reservoir in the calm after a rain. There's no space between the forest floor and the glassy cold water. No bank. The reservoir is full. I have sat in a seat that someone has sat in before, and their perfume lingers. With just a little bit of scent, the memory of that person fills my mind. I've entered the kitchen on Thanksgiving morning, and the yeasty smell of hot rolls in the oven after the turkey is finished cooking fills the room. I could eat the air. I've stepped into a room that has a bowl of fresh-cut gardenias sitting on a table. The gardenias' sweetness is thick. I can taste it. It only takes one small gardenia to fill a room. A whole bowl of gardenias can affect more than your nose. You can feel a little queasy sometimes. Mary, sister of Lazarus, the friend who Jesus had raised from the dead a little earlier in the passage of John. Mary anointed Jesus' feet with a costly oil that's used to prepare a body for burial. I imagine that a pound of nard is as pungent as a bowl of gardenias. The air in John's text is filled with sweetness. The season of celebration is near. Passover is just down the road. The gang is all here. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, the disciples, Judas's name, Judas Iscariot, and Jesus. There is more fullness in this text than in the air. The Greek word that John uses for "was filled" is a plerothe. It's the root of our word plethora. A plerothe means more than a multitude of items and a fullness of volume. It also means complete. The Gospel of Matthew uses this word, a plerothea, when the fishing nets become filled with fish? A clue. He also uses it when he refers to a prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus was, for Matthew, the fulfillment of the prophets. I think John is indicating something similar here in his own symbolic way. John is a writer, master of symbols, nuanced phrases. When you read John, you have to read in between the lines and above the lines and below the lines. I mean, he is all about symbol and nuance. So I believe the reference here to the fragrance of the nard, a burial ointment, and the fullness of the air refers to a fulfillment of the prophecies of old, a completeness. It signifies that in Jesus there is a completion. And at this point in the text, in the journey into Jerusalem, the moment of completion is well on the way. To solidify this idea, these two men, Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, and Judas, who is pointing to betrayal, both are here together in this room with Jesus. And there is Mary, who, with an extravagant gift to Jesus, reminds us of God's life to us. The extravagance of God, or the depletion of sin, life or death, all are hanging in the air like perfume. Here in this passage, time itself is full to the brim. The age is coming to a close. Mary is pouring out the things left for the dead onto the living. Jesus is heading toward his death on a cross and is bringing in a new way of life. His response to Judas exclaims this, his extravagance of God. Leave her alone. You will not always have me. Love in this new age is expressed with devotion and joy, not duty. Extravagance, not depletion. Jesus shows Judas the way to fullness as he alludes to the cross. Judas did not understand. In John, both meanings of the word, a pleurothe, are present as the scent of nard hangs in the air, fullness and completion. I have to make an aside here. I think it's important to realize that John's portraits of Mary and Judas have been exaggerated through the centuries as we kind of hone in on their characteristics, idealized by Christians. Women have overemphasized Mary's humility and self-sacrifice to give us a picture of a meek and mild doormat sitting at Jesus' feet. This is a wrong picture of Mary, who's really a woman of great strength, to step out and do this, an advocate for justice. This portrait that John paints of her in this text shows real intentionality on her part for her generosity. And the church has demonized Judas as the sole betrayer of Jesus. People with mental illness have been condemned in part through history because of the demonization here of Judas and a lack of understanding about depression and other biological factors related to mental illness. Guilt and despair are debilitating. And one can imagine the disciples' anger at Judas for initiating this process of betrayal. And is often the case in families that have hurt one person is that have a lot of hurt in it, one person is blamed for it. And that person feels the guilt far worse than should happen. I remember in the movie Ordinary People, the older brother dies in the boating accident and the younger brother bears the guilt from that accident from his parents and seemingly everywhere, including himself. And as the movie progresses, we see that the unhappiness of the family was present even before the older brother died. Both boys become a victim of despair. Guilt and despair can affect our bodies, they can affect our families, and it's unfortunate that Judas became the sole depository of all blame over the centuries. And this should not be. Judas had enormous guilt and sadness for what he did, as we see in his final actions. I think it's a shame that the Gospel of John doesn't show more compassion for his despair, because we know from the Gospel accounts that everyone betrays Jesus. Everyone betrays Jesus in the end, not just Judas. Everyone bears the responsibility for Jesus' death, and in Christ, they are all redeemed. Having said that, certain characteristics of Judas in the Gospel of John still have to be reckoned with. We can highlight the portrait of Judas in John not to demonize him, but to illustrate our own humanity. In Mary and Judas, we have the proverbial glass, half empty and half full. Judas's glass was half empty and drained dry, and Mary's glass was half full and overflowing. We, like these examples, can orient our life self-centeredly, the glass half empty, or in a grateful and loving way, the glass half full. It's as if our souls are stretched wide enough that all wars and conflicts have enough space enough to cool off, to heal, to be forgiven when love is big enough. Living in God's grace, it is if our hearts are expanded to reach out and draw others in love. Seeds of tears, which may have been sown along life's way, as it is in human life, they are nurtured into blooms of joy. To live a life oriented to ourselves is to implode. Our world gets smaller and smaller and smaller until we cannot even love ourselves. In contrast, the heavenly banquet which Mary represents, the communion of saints, the fellowship of the body, the forgiveness of sins, are all descriptions of what happens when the human's response to God's love is intimate and astonishing, grateful, and loving. In today's text, John invites us to enter into this Easter story and participate in the fullness of the death and resurrection of Christ. If I were an early Christian, I would be in the final days of Lenten fasting. This is the fifth Sunday of Lent. I would have read the sacred text, made sacred promises, readied myself for the drowning of my old life and arising into life committed to living as Christ did. And after midnight on Easter morning, I and the crowd of communicants would be taken to that sacred place where baptisms happen. And I can imagine those early Christian rituals, which were somber and serious. They were life-changing. And I can imagine the communicants stepping into the pool, the baptismal pool, and the sides overflowing as body displaces water. Something like this. And the water coming down. Water is poured out like holy nard. God's saving activity is elevated and adored. And the holy words are said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We know those words from the Apostles' Creed, the baptismal creed. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And I believe in the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. My rituals in this Lenten 2022 are not so dramatic. I'm just trying to focus on keeping the glass half full each day, right? Nevertheless, I am reminded on this fifth Sunday of Lent that we are in the fullness of time. What about you? The scent is hanging in the air as we approach Easter, but it's not a scent of death. It's a scent of life. Our cup runneth over. Let us remember and be filled.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.